4 months from today, Michigan voters will make the next move regarding our state's crumbling roads and bridges. They'll decide whether to hike the state sales tax by 1 cent on the dollar. Approval would create over $1 billion annually to help repair the roads, but it would also restore the state's earned income tax credit and send more state revenue to schools. Rejection would mean Governor Rick Snyder and the legislature are back at square one in the road funding debate. So, what can we expect to see and hear over the next 4 months? Two guests rejoin us today to share their thoughts on the sales tax campaign and other matters. Both have been closely involved in state politics for years. Today, they are both executives at the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. We welcome back to Current State Executive Director Rich Robinson, along with MCFN president and longtime state legislator, one-time candidate for governor, a Democratic candidate for governor, Lynn Jondal. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Before we get into the sales tax campaign, I'd like to get your views on the second term for Governor Snyder and this new legislature. What kind of two-year to four-year chapter do you feel we might be heading into here, Lynn Jondal?
So many unpredictables. By most readings, it looks like a more conservative legislature. That is, as you look at who are the newly elected members and the increasing Republican majority. So it would be an opportunity, more clearly, for the Republican imprint to be established. It's a tough call, I think, to try to predict how the governor is going to work with that caucus. He's not identified by many people as all that ideological. There is dispute within the Republican ranks, from what I read and see, about whose ally he is on given issues. You start out with an issue of taxation, and he's not going to be the favorite of the anti-tax faction within the party. One of the interesting things about the gubernatorial campaign is I would defy anyone who followed it closely or nonchalantly to say that a mandate for a given program or policy was resolved in terms of the I don't know the Snyder program. I don't think any of us knows that program. So what to expect?
A lot of people said the same thing about Mark Schauer, as well.
Well, that what's interesting is you go through a whole campaign season without coming out, having seen, heard, participated in a debate on a bunch of policies, you know. I was thinking the other day that the initial election of Governor Snyder was one of the least, I mean, his platform was, well, I've already overstated it, there really wasn't much of a platform, you know.
Reinvention.
Reinvention. Tell me what that means. Yeah. You know, not. Again, I don't think there weren't the debates. There weren't the issue. The debates that resolved issues.
The discussion. Rich Robinson, what about you? Next 2 to 4 years, any particular thoughts on what lay ahead?
Well, given that the governor has to work with this legislature, I think a significant part of the Republican majority is dedicated to shrinking government. I think a lot of his first term was designed to feed the supply side, change business taxes in Michigan in such a way that it would be favorable for job creators, to use a common term. I think now we're at a point where there's recognition of need for investment in workforce development, investment in infrastructure, and that's a heavier lift. And I think the subject we got here today with how are we going to get the roads in this state improved and up the standard is indicative of the kind of the challenge he'll face with the Republicans in the legislature. So a question comes now, can he find the more centrist Republicans and Democrats to accomplish some of the investments that are needed and that have been deferred so far through the first administration?
Rich Robinson and Lynn Jondal of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network are our guests here today on Current State. One more question before we get to the sales tax decision. Lynn, what does your party need to do to elect a Democratic governor in 4 years? Is it messaging? Is it, I mean, an awful lot was talked regarding turnout this past time around. What needs to happen?
There are so many things that come to mind in terms of trying to read the numbers and, you know, what happened and what is happening. We have a phenomenon in Michigan. Witness State Board of Education races. The rule of thumb politically is you understand this state's political leanings mm-hmm. based on the outcome of those state board or university board races, because the assumption is nobody knows who's running for those positions, mm-hmm. and therefore those are primarily the votes of straight ticket voters.
Okay.
You have then clear indication this last election that more Democrats than Republicans voted statewide. You have that the reality that more Democrats voted received votes for the state House of Representatives, for Congress. So statewide, the party would have to say, if I was thinking about running for governor, and I'm not,
you heard it here first, folks.
that I would feel, hey, there's reason to take seriously the possibility of a Democratic victory. So you have a loss statewide on the part of Mark Schauer to Governor Snyder. But then you have an overwhelming victory of Peters over Terry Lynn Land. So you got to say it doesn't look like it's a problem with necessarily the party message or something like that. Maybe it's candidate by candidate. I don't know how you predict that outcome. And I would say, you know, if I were counseling people looking at the race on the Democratic
side. Let's say Mike Duggan.
Well, we don't know, do we, anything about him. I would say
he would appear to be in a pretty good position, don't you think? I mean, he was the MC of the inauguration here a few days ago. What did you make
of that? Well, yeah, and probably we just made that known to seven other people in the state who didn't know that before. You know, that's not a real stepping stone to. I think the most impressive thing from a political perspective about Mike Duggan is he won a write-in vote for mayor. That's impossible to do, and he did it. That would suggest some organization there and so on, but he so far hasn't had to, anything. He's turned to the emergency manager to do the heavy lifting and so on. He hasn't been able to function as mayor. So, I have no idea if he's interested, but, I don't see him as a person who has suddenly become the heir apparent. Mm.
Lynn Jondal and Rich Robinson of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network are our guests. Let's get to the sales tax issue. What did each of you make of the emergence of this particular plan? 1 cent increase, but with restoration of the earned income tax credit and money for schools. Rich?
Well, I think it was probably a disappointment to the governor, although he never said that.
And why?
Because he's a relentlessly optimistic guy, and he never really appears to be willing to drop a dime on anybody about any kind of political failing. I think it was a failure because there was a sincere desire to resolve the funding issue for road improvement with certainty, and this is not certain by any means.
They've been taking a lot of criticism for that.
It's a big gamble whether this is going to work. As far as the earned income tax credit and the guarantee that there'll be no more taking money from the school aid fund for higher education, I think those are things that indicate that he needed Democratic votes to even accomplish this proposal. And I think the Democrats probably did a pretty good job of negotiating and getting those into the package.
It would appear they did, yes.
But that doesn't necessarily translate either of those issues, don't necessarily translate into votes in May. I think they were very much part of the insider negotiations. But I don't think, you know, they're not a bunch of people clamoring for the opportunity to raise the earned income tax credit.
That's right. But certainly it appeals to interest groups.
Yes.
And I think there are interest groups across the spectrum that are interested in seeing this package pass.
For sure.
And I think that was an incentive to some of the Democratic interest groups that may have been lukewarm on the whole thing. I mean, certainly there were unions who are interested in growth, who are interested in jobs, who were going to support this thing anyway. But this gives a certain amount of appeal into the education unions as well, and I think that broadens the base of support. Whether that broadens the base of financial support is another question, or what's the nature of cooperation financially in this ballot campaign is another question. But I think it was certainly for the best interest of the proposal overall to bring the Democratic interest groups into the package.
One Lansing-based political consultant, Adrian Hemond from the firm Grassroots Midwest, told the Free Press that he expects about $10 million to be spent by both sides in this battle. Rich, does that figure mean anything to you?
Well, it's all a guess. I look at some of the recent history, the strong, safe communities, the repeal of the personal property tax last August was about an $8 million campaign on one side. There was really no financed opposition to that. So that's some indication of what might be out there.
That's $8 million without opposition.
Without opposition. And the question is, what will be the nature of the opposition in this thing? I liken this mostly to Proposition 5 of 2012, which was one of these taxpayer bill of rights proposals, kind of a pure anti-tax sentiment, and I think that's what the opposition is going to be here. I don't think there are that many people in the state of Michigan who want to see our road system revert to gravel. So for those who oppose taxes, what kind of money can they bring to the table? Well, you're liable to see some money from entities like Club for Growth, National Taxpayers Union, but how much, really? And that Proposal 5 of 2012 was virtually all funded by Mattie Maroon. And I think that in that case, it was an attempt to engender populist anti-government sentiment that would spill over into his Proposal 6 to block the new international trade crossing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not convinced at all that there's $10 million out there to oppose this proposal. I think $10 million can easily be raised in support of it.
Is the opposition going to be funded other than by anti-tax? I mean, is there any other there will be people object to the sales tax versus some other source, but they're not going to put up money.
Well, I think that's right, and that should be some appeal to the anti-tax faction out there in that this is a regressive tax. So
right.
If you're going to tax, what better way to do it than regressively? I'm not sure that that's really going to persuade the anti-tax people to back away, but that may have some appeal. And then there's the whole question of is money really the issue out there? I mean, this is going to be a May election, a reduced turnout. What kind of anti-government sentiment is out there as manifested in the Tea Party and other anti-tax groups? And how will that really translate at the ballot? And I think that's a big question.
We got less than a minute. Where do you think the public's heart is at right now?
On this issue, you know, I think clearly the Rhodes issue polls as, you know, people are more than angry.
But are they willing to swallow the tax increase to get that done?
Do we have any polling wisdom? I don't know if we have that. My guess is that you have to overcome the barrier that people are so suspicious by the way this got there, the legislature not taking action, delaying, and all of these kinds of things, that does not present the issue in a positive manner to voters. So there'd be suspicion.
Rich, we're just about out of time. But where do you think the public's heart is at right now?
Fix the roads, but public's not anxious to tax itself. Tough situation.
What else is new?
We want to thank our guests, Rich Robinson, Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, and that organization's president, longtime state legislator, one-time Democratic candidate for governor, Lynn Jondal. Rich and John, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.